say a little prayer, so ask them to bow your heads, close your eyes. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We pray for the light, the guidance, the strength of your Holy Spirit. That you would anoint these words here today in the pulpit and anoint our hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So my dear friends in Christ, this Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday. As we know, Jesus Christ, Psalm 23, he is the Good Shepherd. But now the visible shepherd of the church is the Pontiff, the Pope, the Vicar of Christ. So that's currently Pope Benedict XVI. And then we know as Catholics that in each diocese throughout the world, the bishop is the shepherd of the diocese. And then in the individual parishes, the priests are the shepherds. And then in the families, the father is the shepherd of the family. Now all shepherds are called to imitate Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And all shepherds are called to lead by example and by word. And shepherds also are called to look out to see if there's dangers that are going to affect their family in a negative way, or their parish, or their diocese, or the church. And so there's two aspects of the shepherd. So what I'd like to do here today, let's look at two of these aspects. One, the example of Blessed John Paul II, the example of shepherd and his sufferings. And the second thing, my role here as a shepherd looking out for dangers, referring to the psychics that are in the area, especially these big billboards that we've been seeing here in Dubuque as of late. Now, the first, we have this letter of St. Peter, first pope, first visible shepherd of the church, and he said, Christ suffered for you, okay, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. The example that Christ gave, he embraced the cross for the good of our salvation. And so the example he set was the different crosses and difficulties that we have in life. And it's inevitable all of us are going to face some kind of cross because we're all sinners, right? But what to do with that cross, to embrace it. Now, John Paul II, a great pope, the third longest reigning pope in church history, he reigned about 27 years. He wrote many apostolic letters, many encyclicals. He traveled throughout the world, most visible man in the face of the earth. But he said, and he said that, yes, I wrote many encyclicals, many apostolic letters, but I realize that it is only with my suffering that I can best help mankind. Think of the value of pain, suffered and offered with love. Now, the book I have in my hands here is Why He is a Saint, on the life of John Paul II, and it's written by his postulators. The postulator is the one he's assigned for the canonization case to investigate, get letters, witnesses, review the life. So a postulator knows the life of the particular saint or blessed well. So the postulator puts this book together. And I didn't realize how many times that Blessed John Paul II was in the hospital. And we're aware, May 13th, 1901, he was shot by Ali Aga, that assassin, miraculously survived. But after that, he was in the hospital many other times, 1992. For example, 1992, removal of a benign tumor from the intestines. Then, 1993, he was in the hospital for a dislocated right shoulder. 1994, 30 days in the hospital for a fractured right femur. 1996, removal of his appendix. February, March of 2005, before he died, a tracheotomy and other things. So he knew suffering. And the doctor asked him once, he goes, well, how do you feel about this? And he said, and this is something for all of us, because we all have trials, we all have difficulties. I ask myself, what is God trying to tell me? God is speaking to me through this. And he goes like this. Pain receives a new light, which elevates it from a simple negative passivity to a positive collaboration in the project of salvation. It is not wasted because it is transformed by divine love. Any pains, difficulties, contradictions, things aren't going the way we like, someone we walk out, someone's dented our car, all these things, it's not wasted. If it's given to Christ, it's transformed. Provided that we're living in a state of grace, we're not conscious of any mortal sin, and we're often in union with Christ, it takes on a tremendous, tremendous value. Giving meaning to the pain did not mean that Pope Wojtyla that we need not to do all we can to alleviate it and bring comfort to those who are suffering. Now, he does say, you know, there's times that, you know, we need doctors, we need aspirin, so there are certain things we try to alleviate it. But in the end, ultimately, there is going to be some kind of suffering. So to take it, to embrace it, unite it with Christ, and it will be for the good of many souls. You can offer it for your family, your friends, your sanctification, and ultimately, Jesus, that I may have a greater union with you. And that's what it's all about, being united with Christ in time, to be united with him in eternity. Now, there's an enemy, and we all know it. His name is Satan, Lucifer, the devil, father of lies. He's got one goal, to rip and to divide. He doesn't want any of us, does not want any of us to have a union with Christ, because then he knows someday we will be in heaven. So he spreads these lies and these tentacles and different things. And one way is that of psychics. Now, this is a couple different articles here. I got some things from the scripture, the catechism, the Catholic Church I'll share here. Consultation with psychics in recent decades, especially the last 10 years, is a booming business. Listen to this. Today's psychic megastars such as Sylvia Brown, that's the lady whose face you see in these posters there, big billboards in Dubuque right now. Sylvia Brown, John Edwards, James Van Praagh, George Anderson have raked in millions of dollars for the services. It goes, Diane Warwick's Psychic Friends Network takes in annually $50 million. Psychic Friends, Your Psychic Experience, another organization, takes in $35 to $40 million a year. And then, to talk to Brown on the phone for 30 minutes, $700. So when I'm reading this, I'm looking at here at the gospel, the good shepherd. The good shepherd, you're really trying to help people. A thief comes only to steal, to slaughter, and destroy. I'm thinking, wow, I don't know where the charity is. Now, it says, there was a recent Gallup poll, 28% of Americans believe some people can hear from or otherwise communicate with the dead. So more and more people are getting involved with this. I guess it's showing up in movies, we have it on billboards, we have different websites, etc. Now, the truth. Here's the truth of our Catholic faith, Christian faith. Even before the time of Jesus Christ, the chosen people were warned by the Lord God, look, there's dangers out there. So, and there's many references. I'm only going to give a few here for lack of time. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 to 14. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering. This referring to abortion that they had. There shall not be found among you, or anyone who practices divination, a soothsayer, or an augur, or a sorcerer, a charmer, or a medium, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. And it goes forward. So it's saying these things are an abomination to the Lord. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, which Blessed John Paul II promulgated early 1990s, he said it's a sure norm for teaching the Catholic faith. In other words, it's truth. You can have your opinion, I can have my opinion. What does the Catechism say? This is truth. This is what the Church teaches. All forms, this is paragraph 2116, it starts. All forms of divinization are to be rejected. Recourse to Satan or demons, conjuring up the dead, or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future, consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and laughs, the phenomena of clairvoyance, and recourse to mediums, all conceal a desire for power over time and history, and the last analysis, other human beings, as well as a wish to conciliate hidden powers. They contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone. In other words, it's a sin against the first commandment. You go into psychics and horoscopes and stuff like that. You're trying to seek knowledge of things outside of God. We're called to live a life of faith. All practices, continues, this is a little bit more, all practices of magic or sorcery by which one attempts to tame occult powers so as to place them at one's service and have a supernatural power over others, even if this were for the sake of restoring their health, are gravely contrary to the virtue of religion. These practices are even more to be condemned when accompanied by the intention of harming someone. Or when some people just dabble in this, they don't realize that some people go into it, they have full intent to do the evil. And then it goes on, wearing charms is also reprehensible. Spiritism often implies divinization or magical practices the church for her part warns the faithful against. So the heart of the error is involved turning away from God to a source of spiritual power that's opposed to God. Now this particular person that was involved with this, what this article said, you know, there's a couple of things you could ask yourself. There's a lot of false spiritualities out there, you know. See, well, how the devil works, he knows our nature. By nature, we are social and religious creatures, okay? Social, we come into existence through a family, we need to communicate with others. But also there's something in the depths of our heart programmed to worship, something that's religious, spiritual in nature. So the devil knows that. So it's very difficult to get them to totally extricate that. So he'll offer false forms of spirituality to try to feed that, which is really junk food for the soul, or poison, actually. But this was this person that was involved with it. I have noticed ill effects from my experiences with this. This is what the person said. This is a white witch. Unexplained anxiety started. A drifting away from the church. An acceptance of immorality. Passing thoughts of suicide. Now, the person said, what you can do with these false spiritualities that exist, ask yourself these couple questions. Here goes, real briefly. Ask yourself, is this new spirituality or teacher encouraging me to seek God's will or my own will? Second, ask the question, who's got the power? A lot of times these false spiritualities say, you got the power, you can do this, you can do that. Well, hold on a second. All power comes from above. In Christ, who strengthens me, I can do all things. But in Christ, to separate that, say, you have all power, you can do all things. Without Christ, we can't do anything. None of us here created ourselves. None of us here can save ourselves. Christ did it on the cross. Then it says this, the person who's got the power, along with that, the value sought often these false spiritualities are rarely eternal. At first glance, it's sometimes hard to spot because they often talk about spiritual things. But on closer examination, we see that spiritual is viewed as a power to be used to get what you desire in earthly life. Now, then the third part, and this is really huge, it makes it obvious. Discern by dogma. Consider the basic truths, the gospel truths, well, I just shared one of them with you, and how they fit or fail into the spiritual craze. Is God a personal God who knows and loves us, or is he merely a force that we can learn to manipulate? Can we find spiritual fulfillment without forgiveness of sins, without Jesus Christ? The occult and the New Age will say you can. How do you think you would be delighted with that idea? Now listen to this. So directly dogma. This is from Sylvia Brown from her website, okay? She says, take what you like and leave the rest behind. You know, take what you like about Catholicism and leave the rest behind. And this is what she says. There is no guilt, the quote, no sin, no hell, no Satan. Those are unpleasant topics. Leave it behind. There is no Satan, no hell, no sin. That directly contradicts the gospel. It directly contradicts the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's no sin, then we don't need a Savior, right? There's no hell. There's no consequences for evil, anything you do. You can get away with it. So people fall into this. At the beginning, it may seem okay, but then the mask is lifted. There was a gentleman that I met. He had a very difficult situation about 10, 12 years ago. Legal things and things going on. And he wasn't really a church-going person at this point. And so he asked some friend, hey, do you know someone that's spiritual that prays quite a bit? And then he mentioned a particular lady at this place. Said, oh, yeah, she got the best mother staff. She got this, go that. She'll go. So he goes there. He thought it was a little bit odd. And then he went there and said, well, this person's going to pray for me. Things are going to be okay. Then in God's providence, he met another friend. And the friend said, you went where? You don't realize who that is. I want you to come. Let me show you. And then they went back like at 3 a.m. at night. There were witches that during the day they put up this false facade. Bless the mother this. But they were lying. Instead of bringing blessings, they were calling down curses upon these people who came to them. There are people out there like that. See, the devil apes God. I love blessing things and blessing people and blessing objects, blessing the church, East Dubuque Menominee. I do it daily. I call down God's blessing. There are people on the other side who do just the opposite. They ape God. They call down curses. And if the person is not living in a state of grace, that person will be affected in a negative way somehow. If someone in the family is going to a psychic on a regular basis, watch what happens. Disintegration of the family eventually. Drifting away from the church. Seeking spiritual things outside of Christ, outside of his church. So it's deadly. And this is what I've been asking the people to do at masses. I preached this at a weekday mass not too long ago. When you see the big poster there of the psychic, Sylvia Brown, do a charitable thing. Pray one Hail Mary for her. One Hail Mary, that she may come into the truth of Christ. She's a fallen away Catholic. Pray one Hail Mary that she come into the truth. And as you're praying that one Hail Mary, you can make the intention of praying those who are falsely led, that may be led into that with her coming here, or those who are trapped in it. Now, generally what happens to me as a priest, some will come up, like I was up at school, my class. I'm teaching, and one person raised their hand, Father, my uncle's going to that. I'm like, whoa. So I get a little bit scared. So as a shepherd, people associated here with St. Mary's are getting involved with this, so I have to talk about this, right? Don't go, there's bad news. Or something like this will happen. Father, my daughter-in-law was going, and she didn't want to go alone, so I went along with her. Don't go. If the daughter wants to go, you can't convince her. Well, let her go her own way, but protect your soul from this evil out there. It really, truly is. Well, Father, they told me things that no one could know. Well, listen, there's angels here right now. Angels aren't confined by time and space. My guardian angel, for example, using my class, my guardian angel right now, my brother John's a pilot, he's up in Michigan, my brother. My guardian angel right now could see real quickly, speed of thought, where my brother is. Angelic powers. Demons are fallen angels, they still have angelic powers, right? But they could use it for other things on the evil side. Father, they told me this, they told me that. Well, it may be a truth there. But the devil's so deceptive to draw you in more and more. Now, here's one person in particular who's about, I got a lot of stuff here, and I was going through this. There's so much material, but here's one lady. Her name is Moira Noonan. We have, her name was brought up. We have these meetings in Rockford about this subject right here, okay? It comes up frequently. There's a lady, Moira Noonan, is mentioned by this priest. She used to be involved with this heavily to the point she would call curses down on cars, and she could stop them right in the middle of traffic. She got so involved with this stuff, but by God's great mercy, divine mercy, she came out of it. And listen to what she says. She said, she wrote a book about this too, Moira Noonan. She goes, quote, as I became more psychically proficient, I actually began to see angels and demons. I saw so many things, most of which I didn't want to see. Demons, after all, don't approach one gently and ask, do you have time for me now? Once the door is open, they bombard you. When I taught in high school, some of the kids that got involved with some of this stuff, they would tell me after class some things had happened. They were scared. They'd open a window, they'd open the door. I eventually found that, she said, very hard to sleep. My mind was always rushing, like on a treadmill, without interruption, no peace. Then she said, ask anyone who's been a psychic, especially a clairvoyant, they will tell you the same thing. They have no peace. Those who are following Jesus Christ, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, one of them is peace. She says they have no peace, therefore it's not of the Holy Spirit. And then St. Paul warns us, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, be careful, the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Hey, Father, they're talking about spiritual things. Well, the devil's a spiritual being too. Is it a good spirit or a bad spirit? And then St. Peter says, look out. 1 Peter verse 5, chapter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, if any of you here have been misled, maybe innocently you went there, bring it to confession. Say, Father, forgive me. I transgressed the first commandment. I was seeking things outside of God. I wasn't living by faith. You bring it to confession. And the precious redeeming blood of Jesus will flow over your soul and free you. Revelation 12, we have victory over the demons by the blood of Christ. But if you have uncles or co-workers involved with it, do your part. You may not be able to convince them, but you present the truth to them. And anytime we speak truth, it's anointed by the Holy Spirit. It will reverberate in one's soul. They may not accept it initially, but it's something that's there. You planted the seed of truth. The truth is eternal. So, again, Hail Mary. Every time you see the poster of Sylvie Brown, she's supposed to, I guess, come sometime in July. Just pray Hail Mary. She may come to Christ, come to the truth, the fullness of it, and that people won't be led astray by this. We'll go deeper. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.